Turn, if you would, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. I'd like to read verse 5 down through verse 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I would venture to say that everyone here has gone to school at some time or other. Perhaps you didn't graduate high school, or maybe you have a graduate degree or two. Either way, there has been some formal education. Therefore, we all understand the concept of education and increased learning. But I think we also understand that knowledge isn't necessarily wisdom. That is, we can learn facts and figures, but if we cannot apply what we know, then it is really only information. Take math, for example. You may have been taught many mathematical formulas, and you might still have them in memory. But if you cannot apply them to your problems and to the issues of life, then they're not of much value. For me, it doesn't do any good if you're able to work advanced trigonometry, but you cannot balance your own checkbook. In my opinion, it is better to know how a thing works than it is to have a complete knowledge of all of its components. We call such learning practical wisdom. And really, this is learning that's beyond the cold, sterile facts. And we learn that through experience. It is gaining knowledge from the school of hard knocks. And we might call it street smarts. It is taking what you know and putting it to good use. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm all in favor for schools and education. I believe a person should learn all that they can. But I also believe that they should be able to apply such knowledge to daily living. Quoting textbooks do not resolve life's issues. However, taking that knowledge and making practical application of it, well, that, my friend, will result in proper solutions. May I say that the same is true with the Word of God? Think about it, because if you have Scripture committed to memory, it's a good thing. But if you never apply those precious truths to your life and to your Christian service, then really it's of little value to you, isn't it? Now, our text addresses the subject of wisdom. And I'm sure that you will agree, as we shall discuss in a few minutes, that we're all in need of wisdom. How shall we deal with this problem? Should I take that new job? What sort of vocation should I be in? Should we buy that new house? Should I date or marry that person? How do I properly rear my children? How do I deal with the problems which arise in my marriage? How may I best serve God? Well, we face questions like these on a continual basis, don't we? Now, the truth is, we need wisdom. Where then shall we get that wisdom? Well, with the coming of the new year, you might wish to make some improvements. And last week, I spoke on love's priority. And today, I would like to make one more suggestion unto you for this new year. And so that you should, and I believe you would do well if you should choose wisdom. And so we want to look into our passage today and the text that we have, and I want to speak to you about a message which I've entitled, Choose Wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house, and thank you for those who are here. And Lord, we pray for those who could not be with us today, and you know the hindrances, you know those that are sick, and Lord, with our brother in the ER, we ask that you would be pleased to bless and send healing to each situation and to meet every need. And now we've come together today in your name, and we ask that you would set apart our hearts from the thoughts and the mindset of the world, that we might dwell upon you and you alone, and we might focus on your word. And Lord, I pray that you bless the word as it goes forth, that we might learn from it, and not just learn, but apply to our lives, that Lord, cause us to seek wisdom, that we would be a wise people for you. And we do pray, if there's anyone here that's lost, that you would be pleased to convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, and we pray that they might be saved even today. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we pray that your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look into our passage today here in James chapter 1 and think about how that we ought to choose wisdom. The first thing I want to do just momentarily is define wisdom. The word in the text here means wisdom really in general, but it is the idea of prudence. It is learning. It is knowledge. I mean, to learn book things is a good thing. That's part of wisdom, but it's more than that, isn't it? So with wisdom, we're not just speaking about knowledge. And I've mentioned that in the introduction. It's being able to take that knowledge and to apply it. It includes the effect or the impact of wisdom. That is, you know, if I learn something and I can make it work and I know how to apply it, then that's wisdom, isn't it? And you know people that have a lot of knowledge, but they just don't have any practical sense. And then you have people with a great deal of practical sense that don't have any knowledge. We want to have knowledge and practical sense. We want to be able to put the two together, but we want to be a people that are a wise people. And so the wisdom is learning. It is knowledge. Webster defines wisdom and of the many definitions of which Webster gives, and I've chosen those which apply to our concept today. It is to the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. It's insight. It takes wisdom to do that, doesn't it? It's good sense or judgment, a wise attitude or course of action. So you know what wisdom is, and so we want to think about that today. We want to describe the text as we see it here before us. We begin in verse 5, and notice, first of all, he says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now understand, it's not a statement of, well, we expect everybody to have wisdom, and we're not going to find anybody that doesn't have it. It's the issue, rather, that, you know what, you are going to be lacking in wisdom, and when you discern the fact that you are lacking in wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, then you recognize that need, and then you need to grow. How many times have you had decisions that come up before you, and you go, "Why? Well, I just really don't know what to do about that. I don't know how to choose. I don't know how to handle that." Well, you need wisdom, and you need to realize, hey, I lack wisdom. So if any of you lack wisdom. Now keep in mind, the direct context is dealing with trials and tribulations. Back up to verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, the various sorts of trials that come upon us. We're supposed to rejoice in that. That's kind of hard to do, and you're going to need wisdom if you're going to respond this way. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But I guarantee you, my friend, you're going to need wisdom to be able to discern that. And so troubles and trials come on. You say, I don't understand why this is happening to me. Then say, hey, I need wisdom. I lack wisdom in this. So I need to ask God for wisdom. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a sissy. And I don't like pain. I don't like troubles. I don't like tribulations. I want to get the lesson that God wants for me the first time around. I don't want to have to be beaten over and over and over again to get what God is trying to teach me. And so if I face trials and tribulations, I ask God, God, what are you trying to teach me here? What do you want me to know? Help me to learn it, because I want to get it the first time around. And I would encourage you, my friend, to do the very same thing. The context deals with trials and tribulations. And so then he goes on, well, if any of you lack wisdom, well, it's regarding those trials and tribulations. But we know that this truth applies much further than the direct context. And I'm going to submit unto you three other areas wherein we may lack wisdom and we can ask God. Now, certainly you can define it in many other ways. But I submit unto you that we need wisdom in daily duties. How to live day by day, how to progress in your life, we need wisdom. Also, we need wisdom in spiritual service. How am I going to serve God? What will I do for Him? What does He want me to do? Where should I be? And we need wisdom in that. And then we need wisdom in knowing God. I mean, having an understanding of who God is, an understanding of His Word. We need wisdom to know about God, to serve Him, and we need wisdom for our daily life. Now, you'll also notice here in verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, that personal pronoun, you. This is a message toward Christians. Remember in verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy. So, any of you who know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, you're a child of God, you're brethren, and so we can say, if any of you lack wisdom. So this is a promise to God's people. Notice then in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, what do we see? Let him ask of God. Truth is, man has a need that only God can provide. Say, wait a minute, you know about education and you can talk to people and get advice and good counsel. You can get all that, and that's a good, those are good resources. I understand that. I don't deny those things, but true wisdom comes from God. If you go and work on a college degree, you know, that professor can stand up there all day long and impart information to you. But if God doesn't bless that information to be digested in a certain way where you can recall it and make application of it to your life, then you know what? You're not going to learn anything. You need God to help you. And when I went through college, I asked God, God, help me to learn. Help me to remember. Help me to grow. Because I know that wisdom comes from God. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So you can ask people, you can get counsel, nothing wrong with that. But while you're getting that counsel, you better be asking God to give you increased learning and understanding. It's just like if you go to the doctor. A doctor can give you medicine, he can perform surgery, but where does healing truly come from? It comes from God. And so the same thing applies to wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so I encourage you that wisdom ought to be sought from God. Nothing wrong with you saying, God, please give me wisdom. And so realize that you need wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. And I mentioned that worldly wisdom that we can attain, we can learn, we can grow. And it does have its value at times. I would understand that. But if you look over into chapter 3, go turn a page. I want you to know that if you seek worldly wisdom out of that and gain from it just the worldly pleasure and the, from evil resources, then it's not going to benefit you. You'll understand more when you read the text. James chapter 3, look at verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There are different types of wisdom. There's a wisdom that comes from above, and there's a wisdom that comes from below. Now, I would rather have the wisdom that comes from above, wouldn't you? And so you say, well, I can go talk to this people and that person, and I can get, I could, and people that believe in the occult, you know, they could go encounter these spirits and try to gain knowledge from them. Well, you can if you wish. If you want the not wisdom from below, if you just want to go talk with the world and get all the street smarts you can gather, you can, but it's not going to benefit you much. You need wisdom that comes from above. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now notice in the verse 5, it says, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. There in verse 5 of our chapter. We take that next phrase and what do we find here? We find that wisdom is given. You say, wait a minute, I've earned it. I studied hard. If you get any wisdom out of it, it's because God has given it to you. Wisdom is received. Remember Solomon? The wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. Why was he that wise? Because God gave him wisdom. If I lack wisdom, what do I need to do? I need to go to God and say, God, I lack wisdom. I need you to give me wisdom. Would you please give me wisdom? God grant wisdom. And God may give wisdom. He may not. Now, what we have in the promise in the Scripture is that he gives wisdom. And he doesn't upbraid. And so I'll tell you, dear Christian friend, to any or at all, you know what? You ask God for wisdom. And it says in the text that it will be given liberally. The word liberally there gives the idea in simplicity, that is in openness, in it generously. It'll be given in abundance. And so if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That word upbraideth in the text means to censure or to insult with a reproachful language. Did you ever ask something of somebody, could have been in school, could have been in a workplace, but you go ask a question and they make fun of you? They just deride you, put you down? That's to upbraid. Now what we have in the Scripture is we can turn to God in a time of need and ask him for wisdom. And the Bible says that he will give us wisdom and he will not upbraid us. He will not mock us. He will not run us down. Who do you think you are? Why are you coming to me? He's not going to do that. He's not going to upbraid us in the fact that we even come. He's not going to upbraid us because of past sins. Well, look what you used to do. He's not going to upbraid us because of our present circumstances. And he's not going to upbraid us because of those failures which are yet to come. Now, as human beings, we'll do that to other people. But God will not do that to us. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives liberally, and he's not going to chide you. He's not going to upbraid you. And notice the end of that verse. It says, it shall be given unto him. And so that's a promise. Promise number one in this passage is, it will be given. I really do believe that when, I take this verse to heart, and I apply it on a regular basis to my decisions. God, give me wisdom. Help me to know your will, to know what's right. Grant wisdom. And I believe that God gives wisdom. Now, this promise here is that he will give it to you. But you just can't ask flippantly. You have to have some faith, don't you? Look what it says in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Any person who comes to God for wisdom must do so by faith. Remember what it says over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we must have faith. And we go, only through faith can we please God. And really, you just need to believe God's Word and believe His promises. Do you really believe that the Word is true? Do you believe that if you have a need for wisdom, that if you truly go to God for wisdom and ask Him for wisdom, that He'll give you wisdom? You've got to have faith. You got to believe that He'll hear, that He'll respond, that He'll grant that to you. The Bible says here, nothing wavering, nothing doubting. I know sometimes we'll make requests of individuals and we're not really sure they'll do what they say. We're not sure they can help us. But I believe that the Word of God is true. And I believe that if I lack wisdom, I can go to God and I can ask Him to give me wisdom and hold Him to it. Believe that He will give it. And the Bible says that He will. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do not be doubting. Now, what about people that do doubt? Now, we've all doubted. We can apply this to our own hearts. We all know what it is to doubt, to question, not just other individuals, but to question God. We've done that before, haven't we? Well, he says nothing doubting and nothing wavering. And notice this description of one who doubts. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. It's like the wave out in the ocean. Every one of us has seen pictures of the ocean stirred by the wind. Now, those two phrases that are found here in the text, is driven with the wind. Is a single word in the original language means exactly that. It is to agitate by the wind. And so it is to be driven. And we've all seen pictures when the wind rises up and how it might push a lawn chair right across the deck. We'll see the boats on the ocean. We just kind of shove the sailboat along. The wind will just blow things along, don't it? But we also have seen the more violent, more agitated sense, and how those things are tossed. Now, that word tossed means, it comes from a word that means to ventilate or to blow. It is to agitate. Now, the root word of that means to hurl or to throw. And so a strong wind will do both. It will drive things, and then it will toss things all around. And so all of us have seen pictures of tornadoes, and they show the tornado, and they show all that debris up there. Just look at the tornado. And all those little black dots up there is all kinds of stuff. Pieces of houses and all kinds of things. Those are things being pushed by the wind and being tossed about. Now he says a man who's doubting, a man who's wavering is like the wave of the sea. And so if you're going to approach God and say, God, I need wisdom, and I'm asking you for wisdom, but yeah, I really don't think I can learn anything. What are you going to get? You going to get any wisdom out of that? You go to God, God, I think I need wisdom, and Lord, please give me wisdom, but I really don't think you can help me. You going to get anything out of that? You're not going to be blessed with that. You're not going to be responsive to that because you're wavering, and you're like the wave of the sea that's tossed back and forth. And you know what? That's the way we are. If we're doubting God, you know, we're kind of like that in our feelings, aren't we? We're like that sometimes in our directions, in our standards, in our decisions, in our thoughts, even on our spiritual walk. You know, it seems like we're just tossed with the wind sometimes. We're not very stable sometimes, are we? Well, we have to admit at those times we're wavering. We're just not solid as we ought to be. So sometimes we are tossed about and we're back and forth and we flip-flop, you know, as they talk about some of these politicians. Well, they flip-flop. Well, we're wavering. If we approach God in a time of need for wisdom and we ask God for wisdom but we're wavering, don't expect to get it because you're not going to. Now what you find additionally in verse 8, and I'll skip verse 7, we'll come back to that in just a second, but it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Additionally, a person who's doubting is one who is double-minded. The word double-minded means two souls. He is a guy that has double standards. Those who are two-faced. We use that terminology in our society. Oh, that person's two-faced. That's a double-minded man. And people like this are trying to ride the fence. And when they try to ride the fence, they're unstable. Now, there's a scripture over in Luke chapter 16. Listen, it says this: no man can serve two masters. For either you hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. My friend, if you're trying the aspect of, well, I'm a Christian, I'm going to get to heaven, and I'm going to live my life for Christ, but at the same time, I'm going to get all that I can through this world, you're trying to ride the fence. And you, when you try to ride the fence, you're double-minded. You have a mind toward God, you have a mind toward the world, and what's the truth is, you're just not going to get anywhere. You're going to just ride that fence. And you know what? The person like this who's doubting, a person that's wavering, is a man also that's double-minded. And when a man is double-minded, he's unstable in all of his ways. Now, you'll also find in this text that there's another promise. There are two promises in the passage. The first promise was that if you come in faith asking for God to give wisdom, that you'll receive wisdom. He said he'll give it to you. But the other promise is this, and you have to back up to verse 7. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Promise number two. And so we're in a situation where we need wisdom, and we might ask God for wisdom. If we approach God properly with the right attitude and the right perspective and in faith, God will give us wisdom. We have promise number one. But if we're unstable, if we're doubting, if we're double-minded, we're in the other category, we can expect number two, which is we're not going to get it. So you look at the text and you have to make a decision for yourself. As I approach this new year, how will I be? How can I increase? Well, if we're going to have a better year and God's blessings upon us, we need the wisdom of God, don't we? And since we need wisdom, what do we need to do? We need to ask God for that wisdom. How must we ask? We have to ask in faith, not doubting, not unstable, not being double-minded. We need to be as God would have us to be. So the summary declared is this. As we've gone through the passage, we've tried to dissect it a little bit for you. And hopefully it's been clear, and I've been wise enough in the discussion. You've been able to pick up on these things. There are four things that I mentioned, remember? Just four general things. Wisdom in four basic areas. One was knowing God. We need wisdom to know who God is and what God desires for us. We need wisdom in regard to our trials and our tribulations, the trials, the circumstances. We also need wisdom in regard to our daily life and the duties of everyday living. We just need God's wisdom to be upon us. And of course, if we, as His people, want to serve Him, we want wisdom regarding spiritual service. And so we need wisdom, don't we? You say, no, I don't need any wisdom. Well, maybe you don't this very instant, but tomorrow you may. The next day you may. We have a need for wisdom. And I remind you that the wisdom that we need must come from God. Go back to chapter 1, go down further in this chapter 1, verse 17. And notice that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where am I going to get anything that's good and decent, that's right in this life? Where's it going to come from? It comes from the hand of God. And my friend, you need to understand that. Turn, if you would, back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. I've given you the text and the explanation, and I'm giving you somewhat of a summary here, and I'm going to make some application in just a moment. And this is part of it. We need to remember that wisdom comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. Now, what about this wisdom? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." You see that in verse 6? Proverbs 2, 6. The Lord give wisdom. So, men need to seek God for wisdom, and then men need to do so in faith, not doubting, and not with a double standard, not with double-mindedness. That's the text. That's what we learn. And as we go forward in this year, I encourage you to choose wisdom. But you may well ask the question, well, why won't God give wisdom to a doubting, double-minded, unstable man? Why won't He do that? Well, if you would, keep a finger here in Proverbs, and go back just a few pages to Psalm. There are Psalm 111. There are a few thoughts that I want to offer you as we think about this matter of wisdom as we finish today. Why won't God give wisdom to a doubting, double-minded, unstable man? Well, listen to Psalm 111, verse 10. We're concerned about wisdom, right? Listen to the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. You see that? You see what we find in the text? Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 1. If you kept your finger in Proverbs 2, it should be very easy to get there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Notice what the Scripture tells us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Go to chapter 9, Proverbs. Chapter 9. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Go back to chapter 3, Proverbs 3. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Go to chapter 8, please. Now the question is this. We saw that the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. Why won't God give wisdom to a man who's doubting, double-minded, and unstable? It's because the person does not fear God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so here today you say, I need wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Do you know where you're going to get it? You must begin to fear the Lord. Do you have a fear of God? Do you have a reverence of Him? Do you have a respect of Him? Look at Proverbs chapter 8. You're there. Look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of God will say, you know what? What I need to do is I need to turn from my sin and I need to become obedient unto the Lord. That's fearing God. That's responding to Him. That's being reverent to the Lord. And for Christians, we call it sanctification. As we grow, as we develop, as we walk closer to Jesus Christ, we put off the works of the flesh and put on more of the works of the Spirit. We put off the old man and put on the new man. And we want to walk in that. We want to grow in that. We want to increase in that. We want to grow. Every one of us that had physical babies, you know, we had children, we want those children to grow. We want them to develop and mature. But yet, why is it sometimes among Christians, well, they're content to remain babies? And sometimes you'll talk to people, they've been saved for 20 years, and they can't tell you one thing hardly about Christianity. They've not learned anything. They haven't grown. Now, to me, it's just suspect because life produces growth. But you know what? Truth is that we all grow at different rates. We all have different maturity levels. We know that there's differences in that. But I'll tell you, as a child of God, we ought to desire to grow for Jesus Christ. And we're going to need wisdom to live in this world. And where did that wisdom come from? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We must fear God. And part of that fear, part of that reverence, part of that respect is obedience. I'm not perfect in my life. Just spend some time with me. You'll know I'm a sinner. It doesn't take very long at all. And if you have any questions after that, just ask my wife or my children. They'll tell you I'm a sinner. But you know what? I'm not everything I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And just like when I was a child, I got disciplined a great deal. I'll just tell you, I got spanked, and I needed to get spanked. My mom She wasn't a Christian, but she, you know, the Bible says rod of correction will drive it far from him. She used a rod of correction and broke a couple of them. But I needed it. And I thank God for a mother who loved me enough to discipline me. But you know, as I matured, as I grew, as I developed, the less I had the need to be spanked. And I see that to be true for Christians. You know, the Hebrews talks about how that God chastens whom he loves and he scourges every son whom he receives. And certainly as babes in Christ, as newborn Christians, you know what? We make this mistake. We blunder here. We get off track there. And you know, God's always constantly correcting, get us back online, always chastening us. But the greater we grow in Jesus Christ and the more mature we become, we ought to be disciplined less and less. Why? Because we don't need it as much. Because we are walking the way we ought to walk. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There in Proverbs, go back to chapter 2. And I'll be done in just a moment. Proverbs chapter 2. Why won't a man receive wisdom if they're like that? Because they just don't fear God. Proverbs chapter 2, as we follow up on that thought about wisdom and what it does for us, in chapter 2, verse 11, notice what it says. And what we find here is that wisdom will keep us from sin. Verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. And what you find is that discretion will keep you from that. Was I tempted with the things of youth? As I went through high school? Sure, I had the same afflictions as they do, drugs and alcohol and all that kind of thing. Only by God's grace I didn't pursue them. Have you ever been in situations where God just speaks to your heart and he gives you the grace and the wisdom that you need to discern this is not right? Somebody knocks on your door, they offer you this thing. I keep getting these phone calls lately that keep saying, if I answer this little brief survey, I get this 3 days, two-night vacation down in the islands or someplace. You know what? I hang up on it. I just don't believe it. And I get these emails about people wanting to give us money from Uganda and every place else, with Ethiopia and all that. You know what? I delete the email. I don't believe it. Now, there may come a time in my life where somebody will knock on my door, and I might be scammed out of everything I own. I don't know. But I'll tell you, God grants us wisdom to discern that kind of thing. And I remember years ago, turn if you would to chapter 27 of the book of Proverbs. While you're turning over there, I remember years ago I was visiting for a church down in Florida. I was working for a church for the summer, and I knocked on this door, and I was really for the church, and this lady answered and said, I wanted to talk to him about church. She said, well, come on in. I said, is your husband here? And she said, well, he's not here yet, but he'll be home in just a moment. I said, well, I'll wait outside. And so I went out and leaned against my car and waited. And I waited and I waited and I waited. She came out, gave me tea, and asked me to come in. I said, no thanks. I'll wait till your husband get home. I waited and waited. The guy never did show up. And I really do believe God was just protecting me, giving me wisdom to keep me from getting into that house and making a grand mistake that would probably ruin my life. God grants wisdom when we need wisdom if we turn to him and ask him. Wisdom will keep us from sin. So the question is, why won't God give wisdom to people who are up and down and wishy-washy and back and forth? It's because there's no fear of God and there's no turning from evil. Wisdom is found in fearing God. Wisdom is found in departing from evil. And such who come and who's going to ask, they will receive. But if you're doubting God and trying to get the best of both worlds, you're wanting to love your sin yet follow after God, if you're unstable, wishy-washy, two-faced, then don't think that you're going to get the wisdom that you need of God. It's not going to happen. And so the text, I believe, it helps us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But you must ask in faith, nothing wavering. And don't be double-minded. So in conclusion, I just simply say to you, if you're here and you're lost, first thing you need is to come to know God. You need to know who God is, and you need to know Jesus Christ. And it'd be wise for you to do so. But if you come to God, you must come His way, not your way. You must come in fear. You must come in reverence. You must come repenting and forsaking sins. You can't come based on your own concepts. You must approach God on His concepts. Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to believe in Jesus Christ, trust in Him? Lost person, you can be saved today if you'll repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But for those of us who are here, those of us who are saved, do you need wisdom? Do you need wisdom for your daily task of life? Do you need wisdom to deal with your trials and tribulations? Doctor says it's cancer. How are you going to deal with that? You need wisdom. Do you need wisdom in your spiritual service? Then I encourage you, seek the Lord in fear. You need to depart from sin. You need to ask God to give the wisdom that's needful to you, and as He promised. And then believe that He will give you wisdom. I ask you to turn to Proverbs 27. Three further notes and I'm finished, I promise. Notice first of all, one who employs wisdom will hide from sin. Proverbs 27, look at verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Yeah, I have wisdom to discern, hey, this is a bad way to go. One who employs wisdom hides from sin. Go back to chapter 3. I want you to know that you will be happy if you seek for wisdom. Say, well, if I follow God and be obedient to Him, I'm going to have a miserable life. I won't have any fun. The Bible says if you're wise, you'll be happy. Proverbs 3, look at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You will be happy. And one more, chapter 4, I want you to know that wisdom is the most important thing. Chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You say, I mean, wisdom's greater than God? Well, of course not. That's not the idea. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? So in making wisdom a priority, what you're doing is you're going to make God the higher priority, and then you're going to desire to follow Him in fear and reverence. And as you fear God, God will give you wisdom. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Do you want wisdom today? Do you need wisdom? Then you must fear God. And then you ask God to give that wisdom and believe that He will give it. I encourage you this year to choose wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom and to choose it. And may God hear and answer and give you all the wisdom you need to deal with your life and to deal with your service and to deal with Him. And if you're lost, that you might be saved. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your attention. And I trust that the Word has been clear enough and understanding has been given so that you might search your heart, that if you're lost, you might be saved. And if you're saved, to realize, boy, that's a great promise of Scripture, because life is tough. And I encourage you to seek God and to ask Him for wisdom and believe He'll give it. Father, we thank You for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Pray that You bless it to our hearts. And Lord, move by Your Spirit. Because truly, understanding, illumination, wisdom comes from You. And we pray that You would give it. So we ask Your will be done and meet every need of every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?